You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Wednesday, it's executive lounge time, and we're getting to know another South African executive a little bit better beyond what it is that they do. This week's executive is the CEO of the listed company Lesaka Technologies. I'm of course referring to Lincoln Mali. We often catch up with him when we look at Lesaka results, but this time around we're taking a look at his life beyond running a JSE listed firm. He joins me now on the line to take a look at what his day-to-day looks like and what he gets up to when he's not working so hard. Good evening, Lincoln. Thanks so much for taking the time. How did you get into a business like Lesaka and into a position like the CEO of a listed firm?
I still have to ask our shareholders how that went. All that happened was I received a call from a headhunter, and I'd been with the Standard Bank Group for 20 years, and I'd never gone to coffee or anything with anybody because my blood was blue. And then out of the blue, there was a conversation for me to go and engage with people from the then NetOne. Obviously, my first response was to run a mile until I had a conversation with a guy called Ali Mazandarani, who painted a picture to me of a future from a dark place where the company was at to a future that he was describing. And I think in that 90 minutes, I was sold. And all I wanted was to go and be part of change, because they were focused on disruption, financial inclusion, digital transformation, and a turnaround of a business. And I think all of those things kind of really, really resonated with me.
Lincoln, what would you say was the most daunting thing about making that transition? I mean, having been at the Blue Bank for as long as you had been at, I'm sure you would have built up quite a rich network of relationships, and leaving a place like that can't be easy after having given so much of your time to it. How do you then make the move and the transition? What conversations are you having with the family? What goes through your mind at that moment?
I think probably the two biggest things was, one, what would I say to the hundreds and hundreds of people that over the 20 years I'd persuaded to stay at Standard Bank? And that was something that was very difficult for me, because it was not about Standard Bank. It was about where I wanted to go and where and what the future held. And I guess that was the first thing I was saying to myself. Would I be able to explain to people why I was leaving and why it made sense to me? The second one had to do with trying to deal with the magnitude of the challenge that the then NetOne faced, and whether was I the right person to kind of be able to deal with that. But when I saw who was on the board, I realized that all of these very seasoned executives had given their own reputations to this because they believed in it. And therefore, I could be part of a team like that.
Lincoln, I get the sense that for you, making an impact is important. And I bring that up because I want to talk about the foundation. Not many people know that you have a foundation that you are actively involved in. It's not merely a foundation that is called the Lincoln Mali Foundation that doesn't see its benefactor and founder ever, but you do annual events. Sometimes you do more than one event in a year if time allows for that. Take me through the reasoning behind saying, I'm making an impact in life, but I need to do more.
Yeah, to me, my dad had always taught me about the importance of contributing to community and contributing to society. And I'd done that in, call it a haphazard way, for a while. And then I had an opportunity to go to Boston to school there. And when I came back, what inspired me was a lecture by the late Professor Clay Christensen, whose theme was, how will you measure your life? And I decided to be more deliberate in my activities on contributing to society. And then Giacomo Ray, who was then our CEO at Standard Bank, decided to put I think it was 5 or 10% of his salary towards education. So I decided there and then to do something similar, where I would put time and money towards things that I believe in. And so I've been doing that probably for 15 years. And then 3 years ago, when I launched my book, I started this foundation and consolidated all of the activities that I was doing into this foundation. And now we have a thriving movement, if you want. One is on youth development, where we have an annual youth summit that we do with the Henley Business School, where we take 250 of the brightest minds in South Africa and link them up with top CEOs, and they spend a day together in masterclasses. Another one is a rugby tournament in honor of my father, Mzwane Lemali, that's been running for the last 10 years, where we focus on township rugby, because township rugby had started to die in the Eastern Cape. And there's a rich history there of about 130 years. Where my father's club was formed, when my father's club was formed. So this year we had 24 schools and about 528 boys that participated. And it culminated to a trip overseas at the invitation of Seven Oaks Rugby Football Club in Kent in the UK. We also have a cricket tournament that I've done over the last 11 years in honor of my uncle, Ray Marley, which is focused on rural cricket clubs. And then we've got mentorship and speaking engagements with young people. So all of these things are meant to really help us to be midwives to Africa's rebirth by developing the next layer of leaders, because there were people that believed in me when my future looked bleak. And I want to do similar with other young people and give them an opportunity to shine.
That's quite a remarkable story and a remarkable reason behind building a foundation like the one that you have. Lincoln, you mentioned Boston earlier. Where's your favorite travel destination if you look back to all of the places you've been to in the world, or perhaps even one you haven't been to yet?
My wife will kill me for this, but I would say for business, it would be Nigeria. It's an incredible, incredible environment. Nigeria has 36 provinces or states. I've had the blessing to travel to 28 of those states and see the country in action. And believe me, if I had an opportunity to go to Nigeria now, I would go again. The other one is China. I think there's a fascinating society there, business environment. And there's a lot that I think, can be discovered there. And for me, the travel in South Africa is probably my favorite. I really, really love traveling within the country. I've seen the world, but there's no place like home. So any place where there's one of our wonderful South African beaches is an opportunity for me to become a do-nothing king and just sit there with a good book, or writing, or just watching the waves. That's my place of travel and what I enjoy the most.
Lincoln, what about the food? Which of these countries has the best cuisine?
I would say I've enjoyed French cuisine. I must say I don't go there as often. And so when we do have an opportunity, my wife and I do enjoy just those lovely restaurants where you just sit outside, very close, very intimate, with very, very good chefs, and sometimes with very good views. You know, so that's really, really, really what I enjoy.
Mm. Lincoln, when you're on that beach where you've got that beach view that you enjoy so much, what are you reading?
I'm always likely to be reading some biography, or some leadership book, or some sports book. And really, it's about trying to become a better person, trying to improve myself as a person, as a leader, trying to improve myself as a husband, as a father. So I'm always fascinated by books like that. I'm also fascinated by books about change in society and change in the digital world, technology and what technology can do for society, not technology for technologies. So those are the kinds of books I like reading. If I'm not doing that, then I'm watching TV because I'm also a very, I'm a TV nut as well.
Are you binge watching any particular series at the moment? Are you particularly focused on something?
I have been watching probably for the 15th time the Narcos series.
That's a quality series.
So those are the things that I'm able sometimes to do when I just come back from a long, 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 call it day and evening at Lusaka. I don't think I should call it a day. Just things that should take your mind away. So yeah, I've just been watching, to my wife's annoyance, maybe for the 15th time, the Narcos or El Topo and any of those kinds of things. Just to take your mind away from serious matters.
Well, I'll certainly send you a list of my series that I recommend. There's a couple awesome. That I think you would get awesome. Along with there. Lincoln, before we wrap things up, you mentioned a little earlier that you have been privileged and blessed to have had people in your life that have been there for you when no one else was and that have believed in you and no one else would. What would you say is the one piece of advice that you hold on to that was shared with you in your time?
I think my dad's thing about treating everybody the same, regardless of race, color, religion, gender, has stood me very well. The second one is around getting feedback from the people around you. My wife is, the person who gives me regular feedback, and my kids, solicited or unsolicited. I think those keep you grounded. They keep you grounded and you get a sense. And then the third one is around lifelong learning, that I'm always learning. And I learned a lot of that from Sim Tshabalala that I worked with for 20 years. Sim is always reading, always learning. And even things he doesn't understand, he'll test himself and challenge himself. So even in this role, if anybody would have said to me I would occupy a CEO role, for a NASDAQ or JSE listed company, I would have said, they're confused. But I've had to learn. A lot of it is learned. A lot of it is mistakes. But there's always people around you, the board, that the people I have, my colleagues, to then give you support. If I look at rugby, you have Rasi there, but you have Sia. And Sia is surrounded by other leaders. So it's not only him. He's got the team behind him and he's got other leaders. And he might be the most visible person, but there's a lot of other guys who've got other specialist skills that help him to succeed in the job, and the team then succeeds.
It's about lifelong learning and accepting the feedback, even if it is unsolicited. We'll leave the conversation there. Lincoln, thanks so much for the time. It's been lovely getting to know you a little bit better. That was Lincoln Miley, who is the CEO of Lusaka Technologies, joining us for this week's Executive Lounge.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.